Okay, can everyone hear me? All right. Start a little late because everyone's getting back from lunch. But my name is Dwayne Richardson, and I'm from Denver, Colorado. And this is my colleague, Dan Kirkwood. He's going to actually help me with part of the presentation with the demo piece. And I hope that you guys will come away with some understanding of our CDN called Apache Traffic Control. If you're interested, you don't have to take pictures or slides or anything. Just follow the bit.ly link here. We recently tweeted the links as well if you want to get access. Here we go. So to start with, here's our agenda. We're going to do an overview of history of the product and how it sort of got its beginnings. And we'll go into some component details. So we're going to take a little deeper dive into what traffic control is. I know you guys saw the keynote probably the other day, so you're probably interested in seeing some more about traffic control. And then at the end, Dan's going to show us a demo where we can actually see some activity with our demo based in Docker. So what is a CDN? A CDN is basically a group of caching servers that are collectively used almost like a remote disk system. So you can sort of cache content closest to your customers. And we have two caching proxies that we use. The first one and the most primary one we use is Apache Traffic Server, which you all may be familiar with. The second one we have is a homegrown one that we use for testing called Grome, which is Grove, which is written in Go. And we're hoping to do more and more there with our linear side of our caches, but it's a very interesting perspective in terms of being able to do more and more different types of caches. So why build a CDN? Well, we had a big problem we had to solve. We had a lot of bits we knew were coming. We're making a big major switch from our QAM aspect, which is basically the analog coax that you see, to IP. So you can now watch, you know, all of your videos and content on your second screens, all primarily because of our CDN. So we knew this was coming, and we knew we needed to build. So then in the initial days, it was a different product than what it is today. But as it stands now, you know, it's called traffic control. And then the traffic control itself became something that was a group of caching servers that was aggregated. And traffic control itself also does the control plane management. So it's managing all those caches for us in scale. So a little bit of history. And the work started in 2012, as you probably saw in the keynote. But I was employee number 6 on the project, so I've seen this from the beginning, and it's been a very exciting growth that we've seen. We put this in production in 2012, and it was sort of uneventful. We had, just a few customers, but, you know, we had high hopes. And then, of course, we decided to go into the Apache process, and we really, really found that that was a very interesting and fruitful venture, because we knew that by going to Apache, we're going to get more interest and more growth in the product. We have 20 committers representing 7 different companies, 12 PMC members, both of which Dan and I are a PMC member. We just recently pushed our latest and freshest number for commits, which is 9,548. And then that is our GitHub project if you're interested to go check it out. Our latest stable release is 2.2, and we're currently working on our latest dev is 3.0. And we're also working on 4, because we have some future things we want to focus on in that branch, but we're definitely working currently on getting 3.0 out. We had some primary goals when we first started building the CDN, and a lot of them was we wanted to really be open. Open in almost every aspect. We wanted to be open in the software, which also incorporated a lot of license changes. We also want to be open in terms of the hardware. We didn't want to be locked in to one specific vendor in terms of the caching software that we're using. We also wanted to be extremely scalable because we knew that growth was going to be there. So all of our components are stateless in terms of the core that manages the CDN. And we do know that by doing stateless, you're not dealing with, you know, some of the headaches that state provides. So some of the key features, we have client routing. Basically, any players or curl commands or anything that you might show up with has the ability to be managed and routed through our CDN to our caches. That routing comes with IP database, so we know exactly where you're coming from to know how to route you to the local cache. We have the need for operations administration. That basically means a dashboard where the apps guy goes in and enters some parameters and actually starts to understand how to deploy, control, and configure the CDN. And then we have monitoring. Obviously, if any of these caches need to go into maintenance mode or they just accidentally fall over because a hard drive dies, then that's all managed through our, a component called Traffic Monitor, which we'll get into a little bit later. And monitoring's all around health protocol. Let's get a little deeper into the traffic control components themselves now. Traffic operations. So this is that operations console that admin page that I mentioned. This is written in Perl Modulicious. And of course, you know, you're like, Perl, wow, that's so old. But you know, remember, this is 2012. Like, you know, the new things like Go and Java was out, but you know, we were really sort of a bunch of admin guys, and we knew that we just wanted to work with something we were familiar with. But it does our config management, and it's eventually going to be completely rewritten because we just recently deprecated it, as well as gone away, and in favor of a new traffic portal. But there was a lot of usefulness in there because it's tied to a Postgres database, and it serves nothing but our APIs. So if you wanted to do command line or automation, we have that ability through the Traffic Ops APIs. But then we also have the need for a traffic portal, which I'll show you a bit later. So before we get into that, let's sort of talk about some of the terms that we know about in traffic control. And one of them is a delivery service. Delivery service is basically the service lane that is configured for you. It has your profiles, parameters, anything that might be customized for you because I'm a VOD customer, or maybe I'm just a blog customer, and I want to basically serve all of my content off your CDN. So a delivery service is how we sort of do that. Then we get into parameters. What is a parameter? So a parameter is what you know well and true in programming, which is just key value pairs. And ultimately what we're doing in traffic control is managing config files. So we do config key value pairs to help us with configuring and managing ATS because its format of config files is very friendly for this format. So we group them into something called profiles. So profiles and parameters sort of make up how we manage and push out our config files down to the caches, and it makes it very convenient because then we can also put those profiles and associate them to different delivery services. So now I'm going to sort of bring in Docker a little bit with our demo and sort of describe how we had to attack this, because the way we run traffic control in our production CDN is nothing like Docker. This is a true alpha in terms of what we're going to do. And the main reason we're doing it is because, as you'll find out, traffic control is really big. And because it's really big, it makes it really hard to set up and control. So what we want to do is set it up in Docker and help us with our training, onboarding, and also getting anyone in the wide world to figure this out. So the first component I'd already talked about called Traffic Ops is going to be what we'll bring up and introduce. But then you'll notice these two components here, enroller and then DNS routing. What are those things? Well, the enroller is a custom component that we wrote because remember when I said earlier that Traffic Ops is our admin system? Well, it already is also our inventory system because we know about all the caches in that database. And what the enroller is going to do is bridge that gap between the Docker networking and our traffic ops system. So it's going to spin up and register all of our external components that are in Docker into our ops system. The second component we have here is the DNS routing. Why do we have that? Well, Docker networking, as you know, is all sort of internalized and localized within those containers. But at the same time, we need the ability to route internally because the way we manage our CDN is primarily with DNS routing. We also have HTTP routing, but DNS is sort of the core of what we do. So we had to do some customization there. And of course, we're going to tie that into the upstream DNS server so that you can communicate into those containers. So then at this point, I'm going to hand this over to Dan, and he's going to sort talk about traffic ops at the command line. I'm going to hold this for you a second.
Okay. So get back to where I need to be. Okay, so we have the entire source of the CDN in a box in a single directory called CDN in a box under our infrastructure directory. It has, you can see, a number of files at this point. Back up to there. Okay. So at this point, I'm just going to ensure that the entire thing has been destroyed. Of course, it hasn't. And then, so we have a each one of the services that is listed here is just one of the components of the of our the traffic control. So we have traffic ops, traffic vault, traffic portal, traffic router, traffic monitor. And Dwayne is going to mention each of those later. The DB is the Postgres database. Okay, everything's been taken down, so I'm just going to bring it all back up again. And switch over to here, where we can see all of the different components getting their... I screwed that up. Wow, okay. There we go. Okay, so this is every one of the components is now coming up. You can see it takes just a couple of minutes for it to all come up, load some of the data that we've set up for testing, and while that's coming up, I should have come back to here. And I believe the traffic portal, it should be running at this point. And there it is. Okay. So we can see under the configure servers tab, it shows zero entries at this point. But as each one of those components comes up, I can refresh this and can see each component being registered as a server.
Okay, cool. Awesome, Dan. So with the traffic portal, as I mentioned earlier, is it's just a UI that now sits in front of our Traffic Ops API. And can you go back to the slides a little bit? Traffic portal now has become our new and improved config administration. And what it does on top of what the old one did is obviously it's written in Angular JS, which is the 1.0 version of Angular. So we're not fighting through the versioning in the Angular community at the moment. We also have the ability to do dashboards, which you saw briefly there. We can actually get a glimpse of what's going on in the CDN in terms of the traffic and have an understanding of which servers are up or down because our traffic monitors reported back the fact that they're, you know, in an unhealthy state. And we also have the ability to manage users. You know, we have admins, we have normal users, and pretty soon in the future, we're going to be focused on doing self-service, which means even more interaction from the outside. So we're going to have features like roles and capabilities come into play to sort of control our users and give privileges to higher or lower level people in our system. So now we've sort of talked about the portal. We've talked about Traffic Ops API. We're also going to sort of talk about traffic monitor, and we'll introduce what that means to the system. But before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit about ORT. What is ORT? So ORT is a script that we run on all of our caches, and what it does is it wakes up and it phones home and it says, "Hey, API, can you tell me which configs do I need to download?" And then under the covers, it's going to restart that cache. We have thousands of servers in Comcast on our system, so that makes it very useful because each system is sort of asking for its config files when it needs them. Traffic monitor, as I mentioned, introduced this brand new concept for our CDN that we've sort of talked about quite a bit with is the health protocol. And what the health protocol means is the traffic monitor is going to pull each of the caches and say, are you there? Are you live? Are you producing traffic? And it manages in terms of traffic ops whether that cache is in rotation in terms of serving in our system. So it makes it nice and convenient because traffic monitor says, hey, you're a naughty neighbor. You're going to go down. You're not going to get rotated, and you're going to basically be interactive with an ops guy to see if maybe the disk died or there's something going wrong in the network. So basically, it becomes the decider of the health. So we've seen, you know, traffic monitor being brought up, and then we're going to sort of segue from traffic monitor, who's more the sidecar product, to traffic router. But before we do that, we're going to talk about this thing called the consistent hash. Now, I don't know if any of you attended the meeting on, I believe it was Tuesday, with our other colleague, Jeff Elslow, and he talked about traffic router in depth. But if you didn't, I'll sort of briefly talk about it here. The consistent hash is how we do that statelessness I mentioned at the beginning. It's how we understand whether if a cache is in or out of rotation. If it becomes out of rotation, then the consistent ring hash helps us hop over to the next node in the system. This concept was obviously something we didn't dream up. We're, you know, always live on the back of other founding members of the world. And Daniel Lewin and Thomas Layton was the two that sort of came up with this idea of a consistent hash ring. And we adopted it, and now it's a part of our system. Now, what is traffic router? Traffic router is the heart. If you were to look at traffic ops and traffic portal as sort of the brains and the metadata about our system, traffic router is the heart because it keeps the flow of all that those bits on our CDN in check and in routing the proper healthy caches. So it's the one doing the workload. It's written in Java, whereas, you know, traffic monitor is written in Go. But traffic router being written in Java allows us to do a lot, specifically around DNS and DNSSEC. We have the ability to manage the DNS hierarchy tree because it is an authoritative DNS server. And by doing that, becoming an authoritative DNS server, you can control how things are routed just through what we do on the internet every day, which is DNS. So along with content routing, we have the ability to do regional geo blocking, anonymous proxy blocking. We can do anything in terms of the content to manage it, to go to proper healthy caches through that consistent hash ring. It becomes this client dispatcher. So to give an example here about why this is important, this diagram shows an example of how we sort of have things high-levelly deployed throughout Comcast. And if you look at the traffic router in terms of how I would interact with it as a customer, I would basically go to, say, a web page and interact with that URL that was given to me to hook me into that CDN. Then the router says, oh, okay, well, I see that because you came from Florida, I'm going to route you to these set of caches. Now, I sort of look at this bullseye, if you will, as like an onion, really. It's got layers, right? So this edge layer is our Apache traffic server cache, or set of caches. And then we have another layer called the mint caches. And then, of course, down in the green area is your origin. What is your origin? That's the server that you show up with as a customer to put your content on our CDN with. So by having it sort of insulated with our layer of onion caches, you go through this sequence of finding the content if you don't have it or not. So the first time around, this guy in Florida is going to hit that first edge and says, hey, I don't have it. So he's going to forward you down to the mid caches, and the mid caches say, hey, I don't have that piece of content. Then he goes all the way to the origin, and on the way back, they all get a copy. So then one guy up in Minnesota says, hey, I want that same piece of content. He only has to hit the edge caches. He doesn't have to go all the way back to the origin to get that content, which is really nice on our network. It's really great for optimization and great user experience. So now if you were to go to our website and take a look at this diagram, you would see the full gamut of what we do. Now granted, the things I'm going to talk about is sort of the core of what we do on the CDN. So I'm not really going to mention traffic logs. You know, that's a pretty obvious thing. We generate tons and tons of terabytes of logs on a daily basis. So that allows us to track what's going on. And then traffic stats is going to be basically this component I'll talk about later. And then when you're looking at this, you're sort of confused about how all this works. So I'm going to sort of dive in a little bit to sort of show the interaction with our router. So as a traffic portal user, you're going to come in, ops guy, change some metadata. It's going to go back through our portal. Who's going to talk to the traffic ops API, store that content on our Postgres database. If the second time around I get a piece of the URL that I need to talk to get that content through our CDN, what's going to happen is you're going to be sent to a DNS server. well, just your run-of-the-mill DNS server. And so for this example, our domain is .cib.test, CDN in a box for short. And then, of course, that's going to be the URL that you're going to interact with to talk to our CDN. If you look here, this is the domain, the CIB.test. This is our delivery service, or I'm sorry, our CDN, which we'll get into a little later. And then demo one is our actual delivery service we're going to set up for you as a customer. And then this is just a routing name, and I'll point these out a little bit later. So now that we've talked to your DNS, says, hey, I know where that domain is, then what happens is you get routed to our traffic router. So as I mentioned earlier, traffic router is an authoritative DNS, but it only supports the caches that it knows about. It's not a full-blown DNS server. So it doesn't do simple things like forwarding to the World Wide Web. It just only manages and forwards to the systems that we know about. So then at some point, when you get to that router, the router says, oh, okay, I know where you are, and I'm going to do the simple thing. If you are a HTTP delivery service, I'm going to tell that browser to do a 302 redirect. And so if you're a nice client, you will be redirected to an edge, which goes back through the other diagram of looking for your content that I showed earlier. But if you're not one, which a lot of times we see that, a lot of times clients don't honor the 302 and we get hammered on the router. So we do a lot of just working with our customers to get them to understand what that means. But then we have another DNS delivery service type called DNS, which is the same. The only difference is there's no 302 redirect. By managing things as DNS, we know exactly which cache you need to go to and understand that, oh, we don't have to do the 302 because you are honoring what the DNS should do. Traffic router and traffic monitor polling. What is this? So talking back to the bigger diagram I showed earlier. Traffic router, to get all the things he needs to do his proper routing, he goes and collects data from traffic ops, so he knows where those caches are and what they live and what their IP addresses are. He also talks and interacts with traffic monitor for this one key thing here we have called the Sierra config. And the Sierra config is the inventory of all the things that needs to be routed for that area or that cache group. Traffic monitor also goes back and he's doing collection to traffic ops. He's understanding, you know, where's my caches, and oh, by the way, this cache is unhealthy, you need to take them out of rotation. All that information in that red inventory of our caches also lives here, so he can know who to pull and get that health. And then over here, you're asking, what's this? So as I mentioned earlier, we know where you are. Well, we know where you are on our CDN because of your IP address. So this is basically our IP address database, and that gets pulled over into the router, and he knows that based upon that little database, where I need to route to or where not to route to. Last but not least, as I mentioned earlier, is ORT and his config polling. So what he does is he just wakes up, hits our API, and then pulls down any config files he needs for that specific cache. Now I'm going to turn this back to Dan, and we'll start talking some more about our demo and the other components.
What I wanted to show is, before we get any further, go back to the traffic monitor, which has its own user interface that shows the health of each of the caches that we have. Right now, we have only the two caches, a mid and an edge, but you can see the state of them in there. As they're coming up, you'll see those shown in red, and once they once they're fully up, they'll turn green, and then they'll just be they'll show just white as they do here. But let me go back to here, and where is get rid of that. This is going to work. Okay. Go back to the traffic portal. So what I wanted to show here is how a delivery service is actually set up. So under the delivery service, we have our demo one, which Dwayne pointed that out in the URL we had earlier. So we have the key is demo one. We have the path to the origin, which is where the content originally lives. And under the advanced, we have the routing name, which is that first component of the URL. So if I go back up to here, under the delivery service URLs, you can see we have those components made up here, the routing name, the delivery service name, and the CDN name. So if I copy that and I'll try showing it here. I don't know if I can do that. No, don't know if that's gonna work. Okay. So from here I'm requesting a URL from that delivery service, something's not quite right.
So the demo gods are not liking us. So let's go back to the presentation. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, this is definitely an alpha demo. So hopefully at some point we'll get it working, maybe again in a sec. So moving on, we sort of saw some discussion earlier about traffic router, and as with traffic router, you know, we sort of saw we're trying to do some routing for you that doesn't seem to be functioning. We'll move on to traffic stats. So traffic stats is our collection or for all of the statistics on our CDN. Traffic monitor, as I said earlier, knows about all the things of the caches, and he does roll-ups for us. Well, what traffic stats does is he mines that data and publishes it into InfluxDB. And we also have Grafana and Influx all tied together, and gives us all of our real-time stats so that we can understand anything deeper in terms of troubleshooting, how much traffic's going on, and so forth. Traffic Vault. So as I mentioned earlier about DNSSEC, for every single URL that we manage in our system, we manage the DNS. And to keep that secure, we use Traffic Vault to sort of tie and keep our SSL keys, as well as all the DNSSEC keys that are associated to that tree. The reason why we put it in another system, it's actually running under React, is we sort of hide it, push it back down into the network. We don't make it accessible to anyone but the host that we know about. So back to our demo discussion. So we had traffic monitor running so that it can understand how to keep these caches online or offline. We also had Traffic Vault, which is our React server for keeping and storing all of our keys. Traffic Router, which is the heart of the system. It's actually obviously flowing through DNS. And then Traffic Portal, which is our dashboard and our UI. So we've seen all of the components that really matter with traffic control. We have some future development, which is a self-service for tenants. Which, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we don't have traffic operations in place in terms of doing all the ops work. We're enabling and putting all that functionality in front of the customer so they can do a better job of managing their services. Logging and analytics, we're going to basically build out more and more of our system in Elk. We're right now sort of working with Splunk, and we're trying to open source and improve on that. Pattern-based consistent hashing. So as I mentioned earlier, that hash ring can be based upon the host name or the path. Well, we want to go a little deeper on the path and say only parts of the path is what we want to manage our consistency with. URL signing, URI signing. So for a part of our security, we have URIs that can be signed and ensure that we're sort of, you know, preventing evilness on our URIs. Additional caching software we want to add. We want to potentially look at Nginx or any other caching types. And then H2, you know, we want to push forward with H2 because that's obviously becoming a big thing. And that's the end of the presentation. I'd like to thank Jeff Bevel, who's been working really hard along with Brendan Feck back at Comcast, and Robert Butts, who was the original thought process around Docker. And we used a lot of his work to sort of the beginning of the whole thing. If you've signed in to Slack, you have any questions? Did you want to take a look at Slack? Anyone here questions or just ask me here? Sure. Authentication in terms. Right. Yes. That's a very good question, and we don't really currently have a way to do that because obviously once you're forwarded over the cache, you're sitting on that cache, but eventually you're going to be unable to get to that cache, or maybe something happened with a network glitch and you go back through the router, but the fact that, you know, you go to that cache, all these caches are on the web, right? You're not really going to put content you want to keep secure on this. This is for scaling out and building large content sites. You know, we serve a lot of video and IVOD on our system, so that's the main thing. Now, and you want to make sure that your content's encrypted, right? That's going to keep it in control of your origin. And then also, if you're in control of your clients, you can sort of manage that handshake across the wire. But for the most part, the content is just routed to the proper cache to ensure that you're working there. Now, there's going to be a lot of future work to potentially, you know, try to mitigate some of that. But you're right. Once I'm routed there, how do I manage that? You really can't. Anyone else? All right. Well, thank you for coming to our talk.